Hey everyone, this is John, and this is the Nintendo Direct, the best damn Nintendo podcast on the internet. And like the name implies, I'm going to be talking about the things they talked about on the Nintendo Direct on September 1st, 2016. And like in the past, I'm not going to break down everything they discussed. What I'm going to do is kind of go through chronologically the next couple months and mention things that they talked about as they would be coming out in chronological order. But first up, I just gotta say, I absolutely love how weird and stupid their little skits, little interstitial things get. This time it was this overarching thing where Reggie had a 3DS and Bill ran off with it. And it just gets so bizarre. Like there's this really bizarre Jesus moment with Bill coming back through door and light behind him. He's got this big long beard. Like, did he time travel? He was only gone for a couple hours, and he thought he was gone for years. Like, what the fuck was that? And, like, he came back, and he had magical powers because he made the 3DS levitate. It's just so outrageous and stupid. It's just so weird, and it's so good. I love how they're like, whatever, fuck it. He can levitate things, sure. And I kind of hope that that's a thing now. Build training can just levitate things. And, you know, I'm not quite sure what, aside from just pure stupidity, what these Nintendo Directs are supposed to be anymore, because it seems like it's half announcements and half commercials. And, you know, it's always been a form of direct marketing, but it used to have more unknown stuff announced and it has known stuff talked about. And it seems like the most recent Nintendo Directs, they've leaned more toward getting into the like describing, getting into like details about stuff we already know about. And that was the case in this one. And maybe it's always been the case. I'm just kind of viewing the Nintendo Directs of yesteryear through these rose-colored glasses. And I can see why they do it this way, because they are trying to lean more toward only talking about things a few months, like 6 months to a year before they come out, as opposed to doing what they did back in 2012 and 2013, where they're announcing things years in advance and waiting 2, 3, 4 years before these things come out. I can see why that's a more effective way of building up hype. But, you know, it's less of an interesting watch, which is just kind of the price of it, because instead of having new announcement after new announcement after new announcement, you know, you have to watch through things that you already know about, things you might not care about. But, you know, it is what it is. We always have a couple of things at least peppered into these that are in some way interesting. So I'm going to kick it off. There were a few things that they announced that are out immediately, and probably the one that's the most surprising is a Street Pass update. Remember Street Pass, everybody? So you can download the update now on the 3DS, and it makes the Plaza Gate move faster, move through all the text and stuff, and you can now get 100 passes instead of 10, which is really cool. But then also there's five new Street Pass games in the year of our Lord, 2016. And you can actually, there's a couple of them, you can get one of the two for free. There's a couple you can pick from, you only get one of them. And, you know, I think that this might be maybe trying to re-energize the 3DS fan base. The fact that you can get more Street Passes in your bank for longer, like the new games that you can tinker with. I don't know, and there was a rumor recently that the 3DS might see support through 2018, and that would give it like a 7-year lifespan, which is, you know, probably about what the DS had, the original DS. But I don't know, the fact that they're trying to re-energize Street Pass here might point toward them trying to get that base back and active and carrying their 3DSs with them everywhere. And what this probably means, it's going to be even more puzzle pieces, which is just fucking great. I got 3 more puzzle pieces to get for Federation Force, and there's probably going to be a deluge of new puzzles as we get into the busy season of games here. But before we get to stuff coming out in the future, Picross 3D Round 2 is now available on the 3DS eShop, which I'm sure a lot of people are happy about. There are some people who were really clamoring for this. It's been out in Japan for quite some time. It is a 3D 3DS eShop exclusive, a lot like Rhythm Heaven, but hey, you know, at least you got it. You might not get a fancy box for it, but at least you get to play it. And if you're not sure what this is, it's a puzzle game. There's actually a few puzzles you can get for free, like a demo, so you can try it out, see how it works, which I might be doing. I might talk about this one a little bit on the official show at the end of the month, just to see what I've played 2D Picross before, but never 3. You just kind of get a feel for it. Also out now, Hyrule Warriors Legend, the Phantom Hourglass and Spirit Tracks DLC. Also, Skyward Sword for the Wii is now out on the Wii U eShop in sort of part of the 30-year anniversary celebration of Zelda. They dumped Skyward Sword onto the Wii U eShop. So, you know, it's just been about 5 years since that game came out. So it's cool that it's gotten a ROM dump onto the Wii U eShop. As far as I know, there's no new features, there's no graphical updates. This is just the game that you can now play. So yeah, I mean, it's probably not one that's going to be on my list to play anytime soon, but it's cool that it'll be available digitally on a future on this platform, even though this platform's probably not going to be around for much longer. But anyway, play Skyward Sword if you feel like it, I guess is all I'm saying. Now, we're moving into the future here. A week from now, on September 8th, Phoenix Wright Ace Attorney Spirit of Justice is coming out. This is also a 3DS eShop-only game. There will not be a digital version of this. And again, we live in this weird time where Azure Striker Gunvolt 1 and 2 are going to get a physical release, and Shovel Knight got a physical release, but we're seeing Ace Attorney games and Nintendo first-party stuff like Picross and Rhythm Heaven being digital-only. It's very strange, but, you know, at least the games are coming. Dragon Quest VII is coming out on September 16th, so about a week after that. And then on September 20th, we're getting Shin Megami Tensei IV Apocalypse. And I'm very, very pleased that they gave this game some time in the spotlight. I just gushed about it a couple of days ago on the official show, so I'm not going to spend too much time on it here. But it just looks so good. This game looks so good. And I, you know, in a Nintendo Direct where they also showed things like Disney's Magical World, and a Dragon Quest and Yo-Kai Watch, maybe Yo-Kai Watch and Disney's Magical World a bit more than Dragon Quest, but things that are very younger crowd friendly. Then they also showed Shin Megami Tensei IV Apocalypse, and this is a game that if you listen to this podcast, you should be interested in. This game should be on your radar. Speaking of more kid friendly stuff, Sonic and Boom Fire and Ice is coming out September 27th. And it has some episodes of what they described as the popular cartoon in there with it. So I guess that's pretty cool if you're into Sonic. And, you know, I will say this, because we like to shit all over Sonic. There were some things that they showed in the Nintendo Direct trailer that looked pretty interesting for a Sonic game. There was, like, something where Tails grabbed some sort of icon and it turned water underneath him into ice and it allowed him to run over that. That kind of stuff, sort of environmental alterations, would throw a pretty big twist on the Sonic formula of run real fast through the stage and try not to get hit by spikes. It's not interesting enough for me to try the game, but it looks like, you know, they're trying something new, or if they've tried it before, at least it would be new to me. Yo-Kai Watch 2 is coming out September 30th, and I kind of brushed this game off in the official show, and I stand by that. I'm not going to buy this game, but there's going to be another demo available soon, probably within the next few weeks, and I might give the demo a shot just to see if the battle system has evolved from what they're showing in the Direct. It does not look like anything substantial has changed in the battles. There's like some tag stuff and filling up your meter faster and some sort of tap bullshit. But I don't know. I just can't bring myself to get interested enough in this game to make a purchase, and I'm still kind of wishy-washy on the demo. And I do also want to mention, I mentioned earlier that Azure Striker Gunvolt was getting a retail release. I don't believe that's until October. They didn't actually talk about Azure Striker Gunvolt 2 in the Direct, but that one is also coming out on the 30th. You saw like a brief icon in the summer Nindy lineup that didn't highlight this game, which is a shame. I think they should have, but it's definitely a game that should also be on everyone's radar because it looks really cool. So just to kind of do a quick recap of September, we're getting Ace Attorney, Dragon Quest VII, Shin Megami Tensei IV Apocalypse, Sonic Boom, Yo-Kai Watch, and Azure Striker Gunvolt 2. Those, what, six games that I just mentioned, all coming out in September. And then in October, it's Disney's Magical World 2. Nothing else. Not a goddamn thing. And, you know, it is a fair statement to say that Dragon Quest VII, Shin Megami Tensei, Yo-Kai Watch are all very long games. And whether Yo-Kai Watch 2 comes out September 30th or October 1st is a matter of semantics. So there will be stuff that kind of carries into October. But when you're looking at just a release schedule and you see only one game coming out in October, it doesn't look great. And I'm wondering, like, could they have convinced Sega to move Sonic Boom into October? Maybe. I don't know. Just it doesn't look great, you know, in the broader scheme when you see how long the September games are and see, like, there's three RPGs and see that they're coming out toward the end of September. It doesn't make a huge difference. Like, they're probably going to carry over. But anyway, I'm rambling. I wish there was, just for the sake of appearances, maybe one other game coming out in October. And maybe there will be something cool in the eShop. We'll see. And maybe the thing coming out in October will be the Animal Crossing DLC, which is right now just scheduled for fall. There's going to be another mini direct this fall with more details. Maybe that's happening in October. But there's going to be new cards. Those are December 2nd. And surprisingly, there's also going to be a retail version. Okay, so there's a free update to New Leaf. They are going to have a retail version with the update already done. I feel like this is going to be confusing, because I'm confusing myself just talking about it. But you will be able to buy, if you don't have Animal Crossing, you will be able to buy a version that already has the update done. If you manage to, I don't know how they're going to stock the retailers, if they're going to recall all the other ones, so it's not possible that someone will be able to buy a version without the update. But anyway, I'm sure they'll figure it all out, and it will all go so just smooth as butter, as things always do with Nintendo. Anyway, Mario Party Star Rush is coming out on November 4th, and there are more amiibo available that day. The most interesting thing about this one, there's not really much interesting to me about Mario Party. I don't really care for the series, but there is a guest mode download like you get from the eShop, and what this app, I suppose, allows you to do is play the full version via download play. So in previous games, in a lot of games, there's download play, but you can only play small sections of the game, or there's really limited features. So like in Triforce Heroes, you could play the full game, but you could only do two costumes. So you couldn't do everything in the game. What this app will allow you to do is just play through the whole game, and I imagine you'll be able to save your progress through that app. So if you start up again playing off of someone else's card, you'll be able to retain whatever records and shit you do in Mario Party. But it's an interesting idea to allow the game to be accessible to more people without actually buying it. I'm actually surprised that they're doing something like that. They also mentioned the NES Classic Edition, mentioned it was coming out November 11th. Which we already knew. They didn't really highlight anything else here. They just kind of reconfirmed a release date, keep the hype train rolling and all that. They also talked about new Zelda amiibo, and they didn't give a firm release date. I think they said a holiday, if I remember correctly. And it's like a Zelda in 8-bit Link. There are four of them, and they, you know, they're amiibo. They look all right. The most interesting thing is they're going to have special functionality with Breath of the Wild, which is intriguing. I wonder if that means they'll have individual functionality, because right now they just function as Zelda or Link amiibo. So maybe they'll have functionality that I assume would be separate from the Wolf Link amiibo. Does this mean they'll have functionality that is separate from the current Zelda and Link and Toon Link amiibo? Maybe. All of these are the current Zelda, Link, and Toon Link amiibo going to have separate functionality in Breath of the Wild? I don't know. We'll have to wait for more information on Breath of the Wild before we probably do know what's going on there. They also talked about Pokemon Sun and Moon, which is coming out November 18th. And they talked about a couple things, but we're going to record a Pokemon show and Wes and Ryan come by later tonight. We'll talk about what they talked about in the Nintendo Direct on the Pokemon show. And probably the second or third biggest surprise. I think there are three not really like exciting surprises, but kind of like what the fuck surprises. One was like the most surprising thing was the Street Pass. And this one, Mario Maker for the Nintendo 3DS coming on December 2nd is probably the second or third biggest surprise, as in what the fuck. First of all, it's a terrible name. Mario Maker for the Nintendo 3DS. And I suppose it does fit in with the Smash Brothers for Nintendo 3DS thing, but that's not a very good name either. It has preloaded courses, and you can play courses made on the Wii U, but not all of them. You can download games via download play, and you can also Street Pass to play levels. But there's no... like, it doesn't have the same online features, as many of the online features as the Wii U version. And I can see why that would be frustrating to me. Like, this is, like, I already have it on the Wii U. I don't feel a strong need to buy Mario Maker again and play people's terrible auto run games again. So I don't find this offensive. Like, this is a hard pass. I don't need another version of Mario Maker. I have the Wii U version. The Wii U version works just fine. And if I want to play it, I'll play the fucking Wii U version. Like Mario Maker for Nintendo 3DS is cool for people who do not have a Wii U, which, is, to be fair, is a lot of people. Most people don't own a Wii U. Even most people who own a Nintendo 3DS don't own a Wii U. So this will give them a sort of abbreviated Mario Maker experience. But, you know, it's not for me. And if you already have it on the Wii U, I don't see a reason why this needs to be on your radar, because you'll be able to, like, Street Pass and play your friend's levels that way. I mean, you could just put in, like, follow your friend through Mario Maker and play their version on the Wii U. I don't know. It seems like this is not something that is meant to be a second purchase. Tank Troopers, like, now we're moving out of 2016 into 2017. They had a few games to talk about there. Tank Troopers is coming out in winter, which I guess could mean December, but more likely January, February. And this game is interesting because it has a strong Advance Wars vibe. Like, the art style reminds me a lot of Advance Wars. There's different commanding officers that you put into the tanks to give them abilities, like in Advance Wars. And maybe this is just me talking from my desire for a new Advance Wars game, just kind of seeing connections where they don't exist. But that's the vibe I get from this thing. Other than that, you know, we haven't seen a whole lot. It looks fun enough. I'm not sure if this is going to be a retail game or an eShop game. It had both logos, so maybe it is going to be both retail and eShop. I'm interested to see what all of the features are, because they talked about a few, like there's like some download play and some multiplayer stuff. I'm interested to see if there's going to be like a tactical solo play kind of thing. So we'll have to wait for more information on that one. And continuing the theme of Wii U games being ported to 3DS, Yoshi and Poochie's Woolly World is coming to the Nintendo 3DS on February 3rd, 2017. And look, this is another one. I feel this the same way I do about Mario Maker. I have Yoshi's Woolly World on Wii U. I personally do not feel the need to buy it and play it again. This is very clearly for people who have a 3DS but not a Wii U. I guess they feel that there's not a high enough adoption rate. Like, that people have a 3DS but they're not going to getting to moving over to Wii U and picking one up as well. So instead, they're moving some software over to 3DS to try to pick up more software sales there. Is it exciting for people who want new content? No, not really. Is it highly objectionable? I don't think so. Like, it's cool that, you know, people who haven't gotten a Wii U will get a chance to play Yoshi's Woolly World, which is a really cool platformer. But anyway, I digress. One thing I am interested in is the new Poochie stages, which are going to be in the 3DS version. It would be very cool if there was an update to the Wii U version to have those Poochie stages added in, or maybe like some paid DLC. I'd throw a couple bucks for some new stages. Or, you know, if the Poochie stages were available separately on the 3DS on the eShop for a reduced price, you can just play through the Poochie levels. That would also be cool. There's also going to be a Yarn Poochie amiibo that looks pretty cute, like the Yoshi one. My wife bogarted my Yarn Yoshi amiibo from when I bought the game. So, you know, if this thing is sold separately, which I think it is, I think there's a pack in as well as a separate amiibo, you know, I'm tempted to pick it up so it can live with Yoshi, keep Yoshi company, as it is just attached to a keychain on her purse and just permanently banned to the exiles of her bag. Anyway, they're also doing video shorts. There are 30 video shorts starring Yoshi and Poochie, and they showed like a brief snippet of one, and it's all like pretty blatantly adorable. It's almost offensively cute, but yeah, it'd be also cool if those were available on the eShop just to watch, or like through Nintendo Video when that was a thing, or if they just put them on their YouTube channel or something. But anyway, let's move on. They did also mention Legend of Zelda Art and Artifacts, which is a book coming out on February 21st, 2017. And I don't think I've talked about this one on the show before, but this one was announced a little while back. And it's concept art. It's just like a really cool piece of memorabilia about Legend of Zelda, and also has some Breath of the Wild stuff in it, which should be pretty cool. And they mentioned that it was going to be part like of three books that are being brought over to the U.S., and they didn't mention the other two, but it's pretty exciting that they're going to put out some more content like that. They also mentioned Dragon Quest VIII coming out 2017. They mentioned Ever Oasis again, also coming out 2017. They didn't show anything new, but this game still looks pretty cool. This one's definitely on my radar. They announced Mario Sports Superstars coming out spring 2017. Okay, sure. And it's weird because like two of the games in this sports mix were tennis and golf, and I believe there are already a tennis and golf game available for a Mario Tennis and Mario Golf available for 3DS. So I don't know, I guess more courses or something. I don't know, whatever. It's I never play these Mario sports games anyway. And then finally the last announcement was Pikmin for 3DS, which is of course not the final name. This one's coming out 2017. And the first thing that came to my mind is actually, it reminds me in the art style of Chibi-Robo. And perhaps they're using the same engine, but it's also developed by Artoon, which is the studio that does the Yoshi's Island games on the DS and the 3DS. And it's not a tremendous pedigree. The stuff that Artoon has done has been okay, but not great. I think sometimes it gets pretty maligned when it doesn't always deserve it. Like the Artoon Yoshi games are not great, but they're okay, and they have a lot to live up to. And I'm hopeful that now that they're kind of out of the shadow of Yoshi's Island for Super Nintendo, maybe their development sensibilities, their design sensibilities will be able to be appreciated for what they are rather than being compared to Yoshi's Island constantly. So again, like this is a game, to me, it doesn't have to be great. I'm just interested in seeing how they adapt Pikmin into 2D, because it is a 2D side-scroller game, which, you know, the other thing that I thought when I first saw this is this can't be Pikmin 4, which was sort of semi-announced about a year ago. I guess it could be. Like, there's a possibility that this is what Miyamoto was talking about when he was talking about Pikmin 4. I doubt it. It doesn't seem like it would take a year and a half for this type of game to come out when Miyamoto claimed it was almost done. Now, what Miyamoto claimed could be just gossip or exaggeration. Maybe it was almost done. They went back to the drawing board. Who knows? I just get the strong feeling that this is sort of a separate thing, and that Pikmin 4 is still something different. At least I'm hopeful anyway. But anyway, this game also reminds me of Kirby Mass Attack, which is another good game that, the comparison doesn't make a whole lot of sense, but it gives me just a chance to mention another underrated game. But here you're like using your stylus to flick Pikmin into obstacles and to build stuff. So yeah, it just reminded me of Kirby Mass Attack and flicking all your Kirbys into enemies and shit. But I'm excited to see how things, I like how typical Pikmin elements like time management and strategizing and setting yourself up for like returns to certain areas, if they factor in at all to this game. Or, you know, maybe it's just isolated stages, which would be fine. Again, like Kirby Mass Attack did like a very similar thing to Pikmin. It was a very similar game to Pikmin. It's kind of how I would picture a 2D Pikmin, which is how I assume this game is going to turn out. But anyway, I think that is going to close out this Nintendo Direct. Overall, like this was a pretty standard Nintendo Direct. It was a lot of stuff we already knew and some stuff that was newly announced. In general, it was pretty fun to watch. I didn't find too many points where I was just kind of zoning out, except when they were talking about games that I didn't talk about, that I didn't care about, like Disney's Magical World. Didn't really pay too much attention there. Mario Party didn't really pay too much attention there. But it wasn't because of a lack of clear communication or a lack of entertainment factor. It's just stuff that I wouldn't have cared about one way or another. So I did talk about posting a Space World within the last couple of days. I'm probably going to push that back because, hey, look, a Nintendo Direct came in. And it was, they announced the Nintendo Direct like the day after I posted the official show. Oh, fucking another thing that that got confirmed the day after I posted the official show. I was talking about Shantae, Half Genie Hero, and how Nintendo's website was in October and Amazon was saying September. The day after I posted the official show, I got the email from Amazon. Shantae, Half Genie Hero was being released in October. So, fuck. Anyway, so Shantae in October. That's a thing. Like I mentioned earlier, Wes and Ryan will be by later tonight to record a Pokemon show. So that will probably be the next show posted. And then maybe do a Space World or two in between that and the mini show. But anyway, that is going to bring this Nintendo Direct to a close. Till next time, everybody.